today we have sun, okay?
Nice.
Well, I think we are going to be able to start soon, if you want.
Whenever you want.
Okay. So, Nicolas, whenever you want, you can start.
Thank you, Philippe. So, hello, everybody, and welcome to the third Forestier seminar. It's a pleasure for me to introduce and moderate the conference of Guichermina Dalla Salda, who I know quite well, as I spent a couple of months to her lab. So for those who don't know her, Guichermina Dalla Salda has been a researcher at INTA in Bariloche since 1998, where she started as a fellow. In 2005, she went with her husband, Alejandro Martinez Meyer, who is also a researcher at INTA, for those of you who don't know him. Her two children to France to study at INRAE with Philippe Rosenberg. There, she first finished a master in forest and wood sciences, and she then began a doctoral a PhD that she would finish later on following her trips. She's currently doing research studies in plant ecophysiology at INTA. Bariloche, and focuses specifically on the adaptive role of wood and sap conduction to estimate the genetic variation and phenotypic plasticity of the hydraulic properties of xylem, and especially in the context of climate change and drought and heat waves. So the presentation she is making today is related to the challenge of integrating the adaptive and technological value of wood in a changing climate. This is a work that includes many aspects of her researches from her and from her collaborators. So thank you, Guichet, and see you after your talk. Let's talk after your talk.
Okay, thank you very much, Nicolas. And thank you very much, Philippe and Alejandro, and especially thank you very much to Le Studium. It's really a pleasure for me being here. And as Nicolas said, I'm going to present you the work, the challenge of integrating the adaptive and technological value of wood in a changing climate. That is one of the working lines that we carry out at LEMA. And LEMA is the laboratory of ecology, ecophysiology, and wood, madera in Spanish. And it's a laboratory of INTA Bariloche. In this laboratory, we work 8 young researchers. And we have 2 PhD fellowships, and also Carmelina, that is our technician. The objective of our group that work with wood is to generate basic and applied research within the framework of the multiple processes in which wood is involved. And wood fulfills the function of transporting and storing water that are required for tree survival. The genetic determinism of functional traits, as are the hydraulic properties, offer the possibility to use wood to study and to understand the adaptation processes of forests to environmental stress events, and which take an increasing role in the context of this climate change. Wood serves as mechanical support and is a raw material for industry also. The study of technology-based properties become relevant for the production, creation, design, and implementation processes of wood products for the addition of value at origin. We intend to elucidate for the main native and implanted species of Patagonia region and also some species of our country, the relationship between the environmental variations in which these species grow and the properties that would acquire so as to determine how forests can maintain the achieved productive efficiency and continue to provide goods and services, but also considering the ability to respond to extreme climatic events. Also to determine if there is a compromise between the physical, the mechanical properties and the hydraulic function of the psyllium, conditioning the production of wood with desirable technological characteristics and with adaptation potential to abiotic stress. All this work and all this approach need a multidisciplinary studies that involve dendrometric, ecophysiological, anatomical, and technological studies, and the use of high throughput phenotyping tools, as are NIRS, embolitron or Cabitron, X-rays, and sonic. A good example of our work in the laboratory in Lema is the case of our study on the relationship between functional, adaptive, and technological wood characters in a native species, Cordillera cypress. This work is a very big work that was done not only by people from Lema, but in collaboration between INTA and CONICET in Argentina and INRAE in France, a private company, Madera Plus in Spain, and also national universities here in Argentina. Okay. The Cordillera cypress, or Cipres de la Cordillera, is a native species of Argentina and Chile, and that shows a large distribution area that covers more than 1,200 kilometers from north to south and 80 kilometers west to east. West to east can, from west to east, we can find cypress in a strong, quite strong precipitation gradient, going from more than 2,000, almost 3,000 millimeters per year close to the Andes, until 300 millimeters per year in the steppe. And across this precipitation gradient, we can observe different types of cypress forests and trees. And this can be related to capacity of acclimatation or adaptation to xeric growing conditions. But this species is not only relevant from the ecological or landscape point of view, but also due to the multiple environmental services of its forest and also because the quality of its wood. Cordilleran cypress is one of the most threatened ecosystems. The forest of Cyprus is one of the most threatened ecosystems of Patagonia due to decline and mortality events that are observed during the last decades. This decline and mortality events are locally known as mal del ciprés or ciprés sickness, and was first documented about 80 years ago. The mortality in this forest appears to be the result of complex interactions between biotic and abiotic factors. the climatic variation and drought insight and contribute to tree and stand level decline and mortality. So determining the adaptability to water stress of Cordillera and Cyprus, and sorry, is it okay? Everything is okay? I hear.
Maybe everybody should mute his microphone to avoid losses.
I hear everybody talking. Okay. So determining the adaptability to water stress of Cordillera and Cyprus, and if there exists a trade-off between adaptive, functional, and technological characters, is crucial to preserve and to use, given the high value of the wood, one of the most emblematic species of the Patagonian forest. How did we tackle the study? We started with three main questions. The first question was if wood characters were associated with drought-induced mortality. In situ, in the native forest, in the central area of its natural distribution, we sampled with 5 millimeter diameter cores. We collected in, we sampled in living and in dead trees, in pairs. So we looked for the dead trees, and for each dead tree, we chose its closest neighbor without visible symptoms of affectation. And there we sampled. Then samples were conditioned and sent to France. So Fred Millier could make the microdensity profiles at the laboratory in Orleans. And then we analyzed the profiles here in Bariloche. We compared about 60 pairs of dead and alive trees. Here we see the cores, and the X-ray image and the profiles, the microdensity profiles. In the graph, in the upper part, it shows the climate variation represented by a standard precipitation index, where we see in the blue regions are the humid periods and the red areas stand for dry periods. In the middle, you have an X-ray of Cyprus. And in the graphic below, we have annual growth ring, and the red line is showing the average value of the ring width for all the dead trees, and the green line corresponds to the average growth of the living trees, with all the black lines are the deviation. The period analyzed goes from 1930, about 1930, and goes up to 2009. When the gray bars, pass the transversal black line that it's that stands for P005, we can say that the differences between dead and alive trees are significant. So differences in growth between them, between dead and alive trees, are significant starting from 1998. That is the most intense heat and drought wave over the last, I don't know, even 100 years. And then we have also differences from 2000 to 2006 for growth, for ring width. Here we can see differences for early wood density, because we study with the micro density profiles, we study the wood inside the ring. And so here we can see in the X-ray image that for cypress, most of the ring is formed by early wood. Here it's in dark color. Only few lines are of late wood. So we found also differences for the living and the dead trees for early wood in the zone in the period of 1963-1964, also before 1998, and then also after 2000 until 2006. Our second question was if the ecophysiological, if there were ecophysiological mechanisms that were related to the structure of wood, allowing to explain the differences found between these living and dead trees. Now, based on the significant differences established for the microdensity variables, we try to understand in which way or which were the mechanisms that cypress is capable of putting into play facing drought events. For this, we carried out an in situ and ex situ approximation for the study of the hydraulic properties of psyllium and stomatal control, and as the best approximation to be able to establish the underlying mechanisms of response to environmental variations. The in situ study allows to determine the phenotypic variation in relation to its ecological preferences and determination of its acclimatization capacity. And the ex situ study allows to determine the phenotypic and the genetic variation and the determination of its adaptation potential. We studied the drought resistance. This is ex situ. We studied the resistance to drought in a common garden trial of with trees of 15 years old. And this trial was installed by the genetic group of INTA Bariloche. And we studied five provenances with studying six trees per provenance. And the provenances are of contrasted, come from contrasted climatic conditions. Of these five provenances, Fragua, Otto, Maiten, Rio Azul, Corcovado, that were taken to Trevelin. Trevelin is where the common garden is. Of this, chosen provenances, four of them were taken south and one of them was taken north to similar conditions. The other four were taken south to more favorable conditions. During the season, we monitored stomatal conductance and water potential all the growing season, and we also performed pressure volume curves to define the target loss point corresponding to the stomatal closure. We also collected a lot of branches to determine resistance to cavitation, and we determined basic wood density also specific conductivity, sorry, but I didn't put the picture of basic wood density and ring width with the use of micropores in order not to harm or wound the trees because they're quite small. It's not like the case in situ where we had big adult trees. So our results for this first ex situ part show that here in the right, there are no differences for PTLP. PTLP is the osmotic potential causing a loss of turgor in the cells. And we found also that Cordyceran cypress is resistant to cavitation species, given the values of P12 and P50. Here we show only P12. P12 and P50 are percentages of loss of conductivity. And also here in the left, we see that with the superposition of vulnerability curves with stomatal regulation curves, we define a safety margin. This safety margin was calculated as the difference between them and a significant safety margin variation from auto, here we see auto, this is the safety margin, has a quite wide safety margin, and up to Corcovado that has the smallest safety margin. So this variation is associated to a latitudinal gradient, being the northern populations with wider safety margin than southern populations. So if we look at the relationships between functional characters and wood density, we find no significant relationship between hydraulic safety margin and wood density. However, we can see a tendency where larger safety margins are associated to lower wood density. On the other hand, we observe a significant correlation between safety margin and growth or ring width, where larger safety margins are associated to higher growth. And finally, we can see that in cypress, wood density is correlated to conductivity, to maximum specific conductivity. Okay, that was for the ex situ part, but now what happens with adult trees in its natural conditions? We wanted to know, to see if adult trees in situ showed the same properties, resistant properties, that in the common garden trial. We observe significant differences between populations for the target loss point, different in comparison to ex situ that we didn't find it. Also for vulnerability to cavitation, but not for safety margin. We observe a big inside population variation for this variable. And if we look at the ranking of the provenances, we can see that for both traits, this is safety margin and this is P12, the ranking of provenance is maintained between common garden and natural conditions. The character of resistance to drought increases their variability when they are brought to a common environment. Considering that cypress shows decline in mortality and that we are interested in preserving it, while making sustainable use of its wood, we asked ourselves if Cyprus would could be produced, if Cyprus wood could be produced with desirable wood technological properties without compromising its adaptive potential. So to know the potential for a sustainable use of Cyprus, for using the wood in the construction industry, it is necessary to determine its mechanical and physical properties, or the resistant properties of wood, which are known as the MOE, or elastic limit point. This is the MOE, or elastic limit point, and the rupture point, or breaking point, and also the wood density. MOE was determined by non-destructive methods, in this case, in the same trees where the hydraulic properties were measured. The acoustic techniques, these non-destructive techniques, are among the most methods used because they are inexpensive, they're fast, they are robust, and easily used in the field. The speed of the sound or acoustic velocity in wood is directly related to mechanical properties, but also to moisture content, to temperature, and the variation in the grain angle, yes. We used the time of flight method for standing trees, where the acoustic wave propagates through the stem, and the equipment, this is the equipment, records the velocity of propagation. And the time of flight is inverse to this speed, which in turn has a direct relationship with MOE. And then the longitudinal modulus of elasticity, often for this kind of method, is referred as the dynamic modulus of elasticity. Then it can be estimated using this acoustic velocity and green wood density in the same trees. We assessed wood density and speed, or sonic propagation speed, on four sites. And at the stand level, we found significant differences for both characters, for wood density and for speed. Wood density is shown to be higher on the more xeric populations, but the populations with higher speed are the two more mesic populations. And to explore the relationship between wood density, safety margin, and wood quality, or safety margin, wood density, and MOE, we made a CPA analysis where the first axis is related to wood density and sonic propagation, and the second axis is explained by safety margin. We can see a discrimination between the more xeric, this yellow, the more xeric population, and the mesic population, which is characterized, this mesic is characterized by a relatively high sonic speed and low density, and quite a large safety margin. Here, it's large safety margins. And this intermediate, or this this is a humid population, and this is a mesic populations, are characterized by intermediate values of wood density and speed and smaller safety margin. The Also, we made a classification of individuals, and this reveals three clusters. The first cluster is of individuals with higher speed and safety margin and with low wood density. Cluster two are individuals with lower safety margins. And the third cluster is formed of individuals with higher wood density and low MOI or low speed. The principal remarks of this part of the work is that we found that living trees have a greater capacity to recover from post-drought growth and lower wood density before and after the drought periods. Also, a low wood density was associated with high psyllium conductivity and low wood densities being the trees with low wood density more resilient by taking advantage of this big conductivities to grow in moments of water availability and at the same time independent of the safety margin. We observed high and variable resistance to cavitation, leading to significant differences in the hydraulic safety margins between populations following the latitudinal gradient. This was for the study ex situ. And the best wood for structural use with higher MOE would be found in intermediate environments or mesic environments in which we find low wood densities, which confer high conductivities. And as we said, these would be more resilient trees by taking advantage of these conductivities to grow in moments of water availability. And at the same time, independently from the safety margin. Since in situ, there were no significant differences in this variable, but there were significant variables for density. But it is necessary to continue exploring these relationships in a greater number of individuals and populations, taking into account aspects such as stand density, sociological position, slenderness, among others. So these are studies that are almost closed or finished. And regarding the studies that are still being carried out today with Cyprus in Lemma, I can tell you that we have begun to monitor continuous growth for the stem through the installation of cheap point dendrometers, which have been developed in collaboration with several institutions through the Dynawood project, thanks to Le Studium also. At the moment, we have 25 dendrometers installed, some of which correspond to the study network we were talking about before. And in one of these sites, also, we have collected microcores over three seasons in order to monitor growth, cell differentiation, and to study the phenology of wood formation. We have here, we see a tree with all the little holes. We have more than 1,000 samples already collected. We started installing dendrometers on one site in 2017, and now we have beginning from 2019, we have five sites with dendrometers, with these 25 dendrometers. And here in this graph, we can see the cumulative increase on the stems for one growing season in three different sites. The colors are the sites. And in all these sites, we have complementary data for the trees. These are studies that are just going on now. In the same places where the dendrometers are installed, we also collect climatic data, and for example, temperature and relative humidity. And this allows to study. This is daily radial contraction and expansion cycles in blue of the stem, and the relationship with this is temperature in Corcovado and in Traful, northern and southern distribution of the dendrometers. And this is the relation between this contraction and expansion with relative humidity. We can see there that the variation is for 3 days, because we can't make very big periods for this comparison, since these cycles are very dependent of the photoperiods. So we make it 3 by 3. We can see here that the relationship is inverse with temperature and is quite direct with relative humidity. After this is what we call the branch protocol. Now with virus protocol, okay, this is branch protocol. We are, after making the vulnerability curves, we kept the branches, and we made spectras in two different NIRS, near infrared spectrometers in Bariloche and in New Orleans, on the same exactly part where the pressure was exerted for the construction of the vulnerability curves. So we developed a predictive model of cavitation resistance, and this predictive capacity of the NIRS is associated with the type and the quantity of material, but not with the direct measurement of the loss of water conductivity. So we concentrated on elucidating which could be the underlying structural characters that could explain could be explained by the NIRS methodology, and that help us understanding those predictive models. So on the same samples, now we have only a little bit like that left because we used them a lot. On the same samples, we made microdensity profiles. Silvia Montefinale from University of La Plata is helping us with anatomical studies. So this is a little bit a summary of our work for Cyprus, but we have many other results and discussions that can be presented. And if you have any questions or you want to discuss, we can do it. But I wanted to also take some time, because it's not the only work we do with Cyprus. Now I'm going to show you about other experiences and work that we do in LEMA, with really almost the same approach as the one used for Cyprus. I can't tell you all the results or all the work that has been done, but I'm going to tell you something about each of the works. Pino Ponderosa, this is a study of the strength properties variation for Ponderosa pine wood. Ponderosa pine is one of the most planted exotic species in Patagonia. And with a similar, as I said, approach to Cyprus, we began with the technological studies. And in collaboration with also public and private institutions as Madera Plus in Spain and the University of Venado Tuerto in Argentina. This study was carried out with more than 500 trees and in more than 22 sites. We focused on the need to generate wood quality products from Ponderosa pine as a local resource. For this, we determined MOE by three methods. One is the destructive method, that is the bending test for logs, and other two non-destructive methods that are time of flights, as in Cyprus, and acoustic resonance, that in this case is for logs and for boards. So this, on the one hand, all this information and all this work allowed us to register the wood of Ponderosa pine in the Argentinian regulation for wooden structures, the CIRSOC, and also in terms of inclusive technology with articulation with many other institutions. It allowed the incorporation of local wood in construction, and Fundación San José Obrero is involved in the process, and also local support networks were launched from this local resource. Generation also of knowledge and articulations at the service of needs of the community. And this Fundación San José Obrero is a non-profit organization that is currently carrying out a program called Factory Future, Futures Factory, not the factory of the future, but a factory for futures. And in this process, highly vulnerable young people learn various trades, including the construction of structures with local Ponderosa pine wood. We generated knowledge also that allowed to elucidate how certain basic properties of wood are relevant for the construction industry and vary in relation to the conditions of site, age, and management. And the results up to now of this study for the variability of the resistant properties lead to discuss the management practices that were recommended up to now for the species. And we could start with the applied part to we are able to propose new practices. I'm not going to go further with the results, but if you want to discuss about this later, you can contact us. No problem. Also, as in Cyprus, in the same sites and in the same individuals, we are incorporating complementary descriptions with ongoing studies on hydraulic properties of the psyllium, leaf traits, also some soil measurements, and microdensity profiles, and the study with dendrometers. A similar approach of Ponderosa and of Cyprus is going on with Populus and with Salix in Rio Negro and in Buenos Aires provinces, and also in collaboration with a lot of people and institutions. Now, also we are starting a new study on ecophysiological basis associated with decline and mortality of Araucaria araucana and its relationship with adaptation to abiotic stress. This is a very, very nice project, which we hope to go to carry on collaborating with Annabelle Porté in INRAE. I have a lot of nice pictures of Pehuen, that it's a native species from Chile and Argentina. And that showed, the last years showed decline and mortality, but there are only few studies on the ecophysiology of the Pehuen. So facing this panorama, we propose to determine Araucaria araucana response mechanisms facing abiotic stress conditions with morphological and ecophysiological basis. For the moment, we don't have much results, but we know already that we are facing a methodological challenge because of the architecture and many things particular from the species. So we are coping with adapting methods and equipment, and because even the water potential is impossible to measure in Araucaria. We are going to measure a lot of ecophysiological characters. And for the moment, what we have is values for resistance to cavitation with nice vulnerability to cavitation curves. And we determined that Araucaria araucana has quite a vulnerable psyllium for the in comparison with other conifers. And also we are going on with the determination of PTLP and many other plant water relations by making pressure volume curves, adapting some of the method used to do these measurements. Okay, I hope you enjoyed the presentation, and thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Guichet. It was a very comprehensive presentation and an impressive bunch of results. I didn't tell it before, but if anybody of you have questions, you can raise your hand or write in the chat, so that I can propose your question to Gishamina. And if you raise your hand, you can talk directly. I don't know. Okay.
Okay. Sorry, I have to. I have to end the presentation in order to see you and in order to see the chat.
So Guiche, I have a question for you.
Yes, Nico.
So actually, you find a positive correlation between the safety margin and the growth of Cyprus.
Yes.
Which means that possibly trees and populations that grow the most are also the more drought tolerant?
Yeah, not drought tolerant, but have, yes, a higher safety margin, are more safe. They have a more safe structure.
This is quite a good news.
Yes, it is.
But is this, I don't know if there are much results in the literature showing this type of data. I mean, with both growth and safety margins, I don't see much paper with this kind of data. So, this is the good news for the cypress.
Yes.
This is not the expected result from an evolutionary perspective, because you would thought that more tolerant species are also, there is a trade-off somewhere and probably in growth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I think also it's very important the structure of the ring in Cyprus, and this probably also relationship between psyllium specific conductivity, wood density, and also related to ring width, where the growth is related to specific conductivity also. So this and wood density would confer the cypress this capability of having higher safety margins and higher ring width.
Okay. But these results are mostly in the common garden, right?
Yes, this is ex situ studies.
Okay, yes. So maybe the results would be different in situ regarding the trade-off.
Maybe.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you will have data to test this, or?
We should.
Okay.
Yes, we should. We should make this also this same comparison in both type of study.
Would be great. Yeah, would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Yeah. I don't know if you saw my hand.
Philippe,
okay. I didn't.
I raised my hand.
Maybe I am not the one who can see that. I don't know.
But well,
okay, so go ahead. I think it's easier.
Well, maybe, well, depends how the screen is organized. But anyway. Thank you very much, Guiche-Armina. It's a very interesting presentation with a lot of information from many different fields.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, I'm very interested by the curves relating radial growth, the curves recorded by automatic dendrometers, point dendrometers on Cypress, and relating radial growth with temperature and relative humidity. And so you have, obviously, as you said, a negative relationship with temperature and a positive relationship with relative humidity. And
It's not radial growth, Philippe. It's expansion, contraction of the stem.
Oh, yes, yes, you're right. You're right. Okay. It's the dynamic
we
of
only
the
stem, have.
Yes, yeah. Radial growth is not there, but it's radial variation.
Yes,
of the
daily
stem.
Radial variation.
Radial variation. And did you consider the possibility to relate this daily radial variation with the climate variables you have available, temperature and relative humidity? And did you try to do that? And because if you do it at the tree level, actually it's a way to develop a reaction norm and to estimate phenotypic plasticity of radial variation.
I think maybe Alejandro or Juan Diez, that are the specialists in this issue, can answer. But I think that is what they intend to do, but it's not done. We have a lot of climatic data, and we intend to relate it to growth and to the daily expansion contraction curves, of course.
Yes, it is one possibility, because only we have data loggers where we measure the temperature and the relative humidity. So we can try to put at the same time the radial variation and the radial growth in relation to this climate variability. And thanks also with working was with Anne-Sophie. She's now exploring climate variation in this latitudinal gradient, because we would like to compare with climate model and to extend the study of the phenotypic plasticity in situ, because we have a microdensity profile taken in the same place with for ponderous alpine and for cypress walls.
Thank you very much.
There is a question here from Antonio Juano. So I can say it. He was asking if SPI, which period was used for SPI computation, 3, 6, or 12 months? I guess this is a question.
Okay, I'm going to put here. And Sophie, maybe you can answer that. I really don't know how the SPI was calculated. This was calculated by Anne-Sophie. Sergent, are you there, Anne-Sophie? I really don't know.
Yes, it was not calculated by me, but I can answer. I think it's for 3 months period. And the idea was first to use this index in the first approach, but now we are thinking more in use hydric balance, and so we plan to do this with other meteorological data, but the SPI was 3 months.
Okay, there is another question. Maybe you can answer it directly regarding the dendrometry and the way cores were extracted and how it could play a role on the density when you compare living and dead trees density. You can put the question in the chat.
Okay, I think, I don't know if I understand well the question, but yes, the cores were extracted and the trees are not cutted. Is that what you mean? We extract the cores, and let me see if I can show you the image. Sorry, but I have to here.
Maybe Antonio can.
Yes, maybe Antonio can.
Because I think maybe the extraction he's talking about is a resin extraction.
Yes.
From the core.
Ah, okay. Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
I'm not sure, but maybe if Antonio is still here.
Resin and terpenes. Yeah. Yes, perfect. Okay, yes. Sorry.
That's right.
I misunderstood the question. No, there's no problem with terpenes, and resin was left behind. Okay, and we don't think that there is a problem with that and a relationship with density. Was that the question?
Okay, sorry, now, do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I couldn't make it work. Since my earplugs that don't work. Yes, I was speaking about the extractive in the early years, that on the graph that you show, that there were no differences between the ones that ended dead and the ones that survived.
Yes.
Maybe it could, I mean, you could find something if the extractives are extracted. I don't mm-hmm. know. It was just a question that if you have thought about that.
Okay, we don't think that the difference comes from extractives. Really, we don't see differences in extractives in the early part or in the late part. We don't think that it's due to this, the differences that we found.
No, I mean, not on the like the adult wood, but more on the juvenile wood part. I mean, like in the early rings.
Mm-hmm. Before
1940.
Or before 1960.
We think that it's more related to the drought periods.
Okay. And when you spoke at the end about the relation between density and velocity, it was the average ring density, the early wood or the late wood density?
Where the relationship?
In the, when you were measuring the yes. speed of sound or speed. The time of flight, sorry.
Here. No, this is total wood density.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not, it's total.
So, wood. You use the density of the whole tree?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's sorry, but the density of the last part of the stem where the sonic metal is used. We need to measure the density to estimate the the value of the resultant property, the moon.
Ah, okay. So it's, so just the last 10 rings or something like that? Or...
Yes.
Ah, okay, okay.
But it's not from a ring or wood density or early wood density or late.
Yes, it's exactly. Like the whole, okay. And regarding the speed, the silviculture was the same for all the areas, because in this photo there are like a lot of dead branches and other stuff that maybe could make the time of flight a little bit bigger.
Yes, it's a natural forest.
Okay.
They don't have a silvicultural treatments.
Ah, okay, okay.
So it's not exactly the same between, because the forests are not exactly the same. I showed also that in the different ranges of precipitation, forests are quite different for Cyprus, but there's not management here.
Okay. Okay, so thank you very much. It was really interesting presentation and really interesting job you're doing there.
Thank you, Antonio.
Now that I can see the chat, I see that Natalie Dudinsky has raised her hand. Probably she wants to ask a question. Please, Natalie.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for the presentation. It was very interesting. And I have a question thinking on the future of these studies is regarding whether you are planning to incorporate to these studies other native species such as the ones from the Notophagus family. I know that maybe the wood use might not be such as important as the study species, but for instance, given the interesting responses of Notophagus tambeshi, for instance, to drought, if you have been thinking of incorporating, for instance, this species.
Yes, we already did. I didn't show it because we had no time, but we already started and did a lot of work with Lenga. And okay. That has also very, very nice and very important use of its wood. So mm-hmm. I think that probably our next incorporation would be I don't know the Notophagus dombeshi, but Notophagus pumilio probably.
Okay, thanks. Great.
Guichet,
yes.
With you know that with Hervé Cochard and Julien Ruffaut and other colleagues, we developed the model Suro, which can be used to predict and project hydraulic failure, but also growth actually using.
I didn't know that.
And yes, actually we can even integrate the radial variation profile to estimate the capacitance and also estimate growth. If we can remove the capacitance signal from the infradaily variations. So here you have a very, very interesting set of data that would be, I think it would be very nice to try the model with such data to see
sure.
which population could be the more adapted to future climate, thing like this.
Very interesting, sure, yes.
Would be
I'm
pleasure.
Sure also that Anne-Sophie is very, very happy to hear that.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we started.
Okay.
Yeah. Other questions? Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Santiago say that you are also working on ecophysiological and dendrological aspect on low mixed forests, but what are low mixed forests? I don't know. What do you refer to, Santi? Is it like a mixture? Okay. Yeah, and I don't know if, yeah. Okay, and here the objective is to compare the, maybe to understand the mixture effect, I mean the biodiversity effects compared to more monospecific stands. Santi?
Hello to everyone. We are studying the relation of ecophysiological responses of these species of low mixed forest to principally to thinning management techniques, different thinning management techniques. But we are doing a lot of ecophysiological measurements like photosynthetic net rates, PV curves, vulnerability curves to cavitation, and other measurements.
Sounds great. I think we'll have plenty of common topics to continue to share and probably using models. If we cannot travel because of the COVID, at least we can do model.
We are also doing the dendrological measurements in relation to relate the ring width and increment in growth with extreme draw events like Guillermina Ace for Australis.
Yeah. Did you add any big drought since recently in Argentina, in Patagonia? Or most of them are those from 1998 and 2000?
Yes, the we can see here in the graphs that the more extreme drought was that of 1998. Sorry, but we continued to have some more mild drought peak, but yes, it's we had quite a lot of dry years. 2007, for example, was quite a special year that we see that in the tree rings, for example, very marked. Not as big as 1998, but yes, we continue to have dry periods.
Okay. Antonio has another question regarding anatomical studies. Maybe Antonio, you can ask it directly as you wish. I can do it for you.
No, I can. It was just not to interrupt and not forget again. It is regarding the anatomical studies that you show at the end. If you related the diameters of the tracheids with the density on the dead and the living ones.
Okay, the studies that I talked about, it's not for the dead and the living trees. Here, sorry.
It was about ponderosa ones. Or
In ponderosa, we don't have dead and alive. Okay. We have this kind of approach in Cyprus.
Okay.
And in this case, the anatomical studies were done to relate with vulnerability to cavitation and microdensity. And they are being done in this moment.
Okay.
I have another question related to this slide and the good correlation you have between P50 and the near signal. So here the data are only for one species, right?
This, you mean this slide, Nico?
Yes, it's only for Cyprus.
It's only for Cyprus, yes.
And did you try this to include in this correlation other species that you would have measured?
We don't have results, but we are going to do exactly the same with Ponderosa or something like that with Ponderosa and probably with Araucaria.
Okay, that's very encouraging to see that you can estimate the P50 with a near signal.
Of course.
Yeah, this is really a very good opportunity to screen a lot of trees. Would mm-hmm. be great to know if the correlation holds between the trunk, the roots, and the stem, for instance, and also between mm-hmm. species. Would be really great to if you have research.
Yeah, I don't think that we are going to study roots. Branches, yes, for all the species, and stem here in there are a lot of species that it's difficult because we can't cut the trees or sample a lot the stems because we don't want to harm them. Mm-hmm. But for branches, for sure, we will have all the other species, yes.
That's great.
More species, not all.
And I didn't know much about the, you talk a bit about that, about the management and silvicultural aspects. Regarding cypress, which is quite used for construction in Patagonia.
Yes.
There is no silviculture at all, no management. It's only picked up from natural forest directly.
There are some places where management was done, but incorrectly. So now we are, or people are starting to study this kind of management, or start. No, they have started some time ago. But in all the places that we sampled, there was no management that was carried on.
Okay. This is in your group that you study management in Bariloche or elsewhere in?
Sorry, Nicola?
Is this in your group at INTA Bariloche that you study cypress management, or is this in another group in Argentina?
No, in our group, Federico Letourneau, for example, he did some studies on this issue. Yes.
Very nice. Okay. Maybe if there are not no other question, we can.
There is a question by Susanna Marcucci in the chat. Ah.
Okay, sorry. Yes. Yeah, she asked if you have correlated NIRS wood density with other measurements of wood density you've done. Maybe Susanna can precise her question if she like, asking directly to Guilherme now. I am not sure I understand.
Yes, thank you. Hello, very nice talk, Guilherme. No, my question is about the near measurements that we usually use for breeding programs. And mm-hmm. what is the relationship? What you were doing, or if you have correlated this data? Because we are thinking in a lot of trees, and this is very complicated to carry out for those mm-hmm. experiments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I haven't done it, but maybe I don't know if Alejandro or Anne Sophie have data on this respect. Ale or Anne-Sophie, Have you done a correlation with NIRS and density or microdensity?
We make a model between density and NIRS for the branch, and we also take spectra on cores, and we are actually including this data, but for the moment we don't have all the results, but we want to relate also not only we want to make some model between cores and variation of density inside the cores with several sections of NIRS inside along the cores. So we want to, is the way to have a model to directly assess to micro density to by NIRS. But for the moment we are making this study and we don't have all the data to contest. But we are planning to do it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susana.
Do you see any more questions, Philippe, or?
I don't see any more questions. I think we can, I will use the remaining minutes to advertise the next seminar.
Yes.
So the next seminar will take place by the end of August, on the 27th of August. And this time it's going to be Cyril Rajeber from INRAE Nancy, who's going to present about ecophysiology of tree ring formation, concepts, methods, and applications. And his presentation will be moderated by Anne-Sophie from INTA Bariloche. So it's going to be 27th of August, same time. It's going to be a Friday as usual, Friday afternoon or morning, according to the side of the world. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Samina. And to all of your group, it was impressive and very nice to see you again, even if it's only by by video.
Okay. We hope to see you soon in Patagonia.
I hope to.
Yes, we all do. Okay. So, bye bye, everybody. Thank you very much.
And bye.
See you. See you in 4 weeks from now.
Congratulations, Guillermina.
Hola, Juan. ¿Cómo estás?
Bye bye.
Muy bien.
Bueno. Gracias.
Gracias. Chao, chao.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.